Tonight, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and we're going to begin in verse 1. And this one is actually going to be quite easy for many of you, because I know for a fact that many of you already possess this characteristic in your life. And but can I tell you something? Even though we're pretty good at something, we can still do better. Amen? And we can still broaden our horizons. As an educator, I would often tell parents, it's not just about the topics that kids know about, but rather the breadth of the topics they know about. You know, you want to build and develop a child, not just straight up and down, just shoot them right through school. And yeah, they know reading and writing and arithmetic, but rather we want to each level build a foundation and build a foundation and build a foundation and build a foundation and build that. I mean, that's a much better individual than one that just shoots straight up, because when the wind blows and the storms come and they're going to, they're gone. And so, you know, we might be have many of these aspects in our lives, but we really need to kind of branch out. We need to spread out those roots and lock down each of these characteristics in our lives. Well, if you will, out of love and respect for the Word of God, please stand if you're physically able. We're in 2 Corinthians, and I'll read these 15 verses for you, verses 1 through 15. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and you follow along as I read. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How then in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, and utterance, and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now, therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. As it is written, he that hath gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. So I hope you noticed in the end of verse 2, it said that how the great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty, it said abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Now, in particular word, the word generosity and the word generous is not necessarily in the Word of God. But the idea of being liberal, and not a liberal, but being liberal, that means giving, okay, generous, bountiful, free to give, full, overflowing, and abundant. Can I tell you something? God is generous. God is generous. We've already talked about the faithfulness of God, and the grace of God, and the mercies of God, and how God is generous to His people. He's generous to a being and to a group of people that are not worthy of that. We studied before that grace was something that we did not have any merit in it. We did not deserve God's grace. So, let me tell you something about being generous. Generosity is not necessarily having to just to do with money. Did you know that? Yeah. It's not just financial. You say, well, I don't have any money to give. Well, okay, fine. But you can still be generous. Did you notice how Paul said about these in Macedonia? That he said in verse 5, and this they did. And he's not saying this in a bad way. He says, not as we hoped. In other words, they did more than we expected. All right? Not as we hoped. He said, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. And unto us by the will of God. He said they went above. They gave themselves. I love the story about the church and they were passing the offering plate and the pastor had told people to give what they could. And the offering plate came to this little girl and she didn't have any money. So she set the offering plate on the floor and stood in the offering plate. Hey, that's what it's about. He said, what are you doing? Well, I didn't have anything to give, so I'm giving God me. All right, that's generous. Okay? That's generous. And listen, it's not, I mean, maybe you have some time. Do you know time is a commodity? It sure is. And some would even say it's probably worth more than cash money. Right? Hey, listen, we can give of our time. Hey, you know what? I know some of you have wonderful talents. I shouldn't just say some of you. All of you have wonderful talents. Okay, just a different variety of them. When you give your abilities and allow others to use your talents, that's being generous. Hey, how about forgiving someone when they don't deserve it? Isn't that generous? Loving someone when they don't deserve it. That's generous. Are these all things that God has done for us? Oh, yes. And more. In Exodus chapter 34, verses 5 through 7, Moses and God were kind of talking back and forth here. And it says this, it says, and the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. Keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, and upon the children's children, unto the third and fourth generation. But can I tell you, God is generous? He's generous. In 1 Kings chapter 3, remember Solomon praying and asking God for the wisdom to rule his people? God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. Can I tell you something? That was generous. Generous. I mean, wouldn't it have been enough for God to have given Solomon great wisdom and understanding? Yeah, that'd have been enough. But what did he do? He gave him more. In chapter 10, verse 23 of 1 Kings says, so King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and for wisdom. Yeah, God did it. And who is the most talked about, if you will, as far as wealth and power and fame of the kings of Israel? Solomon. Remember this verse? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. What is that? It's generous. It's generous. You understand that this thing of being bountiful, being free to give, being full and overflowing and abundant, you know, this thing of being generous as a Christian is just mirroring our God. And I don't know if that's a word, but I just made it up. Okay? God is generous. God is generous. He's proven his generosity time after time, generation after generation. God is generous. Turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. We know through the workings of the church that as the church grew and multiplied and spread throughout the known world at that time, starting churches and spreading the gospel, that a lot of times these believers had difficulties. But God was with them because he promised to never leave them nor forsake them. You know what that is? Generous. You know what he gave him? The Holy Spirit of God. You know what that is? Generous. He gave him favor amongst the nations to establish churches and to spread the gospel. You know what that is? Generous. He gave them persecution. Keep them on their toes. You say, that's not generous. It's not? Yeah, it is. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, look at this. Look at verses 14 through 17. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Jesus Christ is a gift of generosity toward us, an unworthy people. Yes, we have been given salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. And God is to be praised for his generosity. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 3 through 5 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Can I tell you something? God is generous. He's generous. He is giving. He is free to give. He is full and overflowing and abundant and bountiful. Don't you forget that God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the wealth in every mine. He owns the rivers and the rocks and rills, sun and stars that shine. It's a great hymn that we sing based out of the book of Psalms. Can I tell you something? God owns everything. He doesn't have to give us anything. But yet he does. Hey, how many of you got to do this today? You know, you didn't deserve that. I didn't deserve that. You know what God is? Generous. He gave us another day of life.
to live on this earth. Hey, you know what? I have clothes. Thank God. I have shoes. I drove here in a car. I got to eat supper before, and I'm going to have a snack after church. Maybe two. Hey, ah. Right? God is generous. He's generous. Go back to our text in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Verse 9 told us that, says, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." God is generous. Look at verse 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. It says, "And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord, and unto us by the will of God." You understand that not only is God generous, but God's promises are to those who are generous. You know what God does? God rewards people for doing right. God does that. A lot of times, people will make fun of us as independent Baptists and say, "Oh, you bribe people to come to church. You tell those little kids that come on the bus that they're going to get a piece of candy or they're going to get a prize because they came to church." Can I tell you something? Bribery is giving someone something to do something wrong. That's bribery. Reward is giving someone something for doing something right. So you know what? I'm not bribing kids. I'm rewarding them for coming to church because they're doing something right. You know what God does? God rewards people for doing something right. You know what's not bribery? He doesn't say, "Now, living a holy, separated, sanctified life is a wrong thing, but if you do it, I'll give you this." That's bribery, folks. God doesn't do that. He says, "I want you to live a holy, sanctified life according to my word, and I'm going to reward you." God rewards us. "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. You who are ruler over 5, I'm going to make you ruler over 10. You that was ruler over 2, I'm going to make you ruler over 4. You know, I'm going to, and to one that had the 1, you wicked and slothful servant, give it to the one that had 10, because he's doing right." That's a reward. God rewards those who are generous. In 2 Chronicles chapter 31, it says, "And as soon as the commandment came abroad, the children of Israel brought in the abundance, the first fruits of corn and wine and oil and honey, and of all the increase of the field. And the tithe of all things that they brought in, brought they in abundantly. And concerning the children of Israel and Judah that dwelt in cities of Judah, they also brought in the tithe of oxen and sheep, the tithe of the holy things which were consecrated unto the Lord their God." Listen to this. "And laid them by heaps. In the 3rd month, they began to lay the foundation of the heaps and finished them in the 7th month." Wow. 4 months of giving. Does that sound like this? Does that sound generous to you? Yeah, it does. "And when Hezekiah and the princes came and saw the heaps, they blessed the Lord and his people Israel. Then Hezekiah questioned with the priests and the Levites concerning the heaps. And Azariah, the chief priest of the house of Zadok, answered him and said, 'Since the people began to bring the offerings into the house of the Lord, we have had enough to eat and have plenty left, for the Lord hath blessed his people and that which is left in this great store.'" So not only because the people of the children of Israel gave abundantly out of generosity, not only did the priests now have enough, but the people still had enough. You know why? Because God, he blesses those who are generous. You know what happens when you give away? You may get. You know what happens if you keep it all for yourself? You may be in want. It seems like there's a proverb that talks about that. Oh, it may be listed here. I know what it is. I'm leading you along here, okay? All right. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Psalm 41. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. And he shall be blessed upon the earth, and thou wilt not deliver him into the will of his enemies. Psalm 112, verse 9. He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Proverbs 11, verses 25 and 26. I like this one. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. Proverbs 22:9. Proverbs 28:27. He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse. You understand, it's a good thing to give. It's a good thing to give. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. From our text, just a few pages over. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. He continues to talk about these people of Macedonia. He says, for as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. And yet have I sent the brethren, lest your boasting of you should be in vain, in this behalf, that as I have said, ye may be ready, lest haply they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared. We that say we not ye should be ashamed in this thing, same confident boasting. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty whereof ye had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and as not as of covetousness. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both to minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth us through thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whiles by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. You know what God is? God is faithful to those who are generous. You know why? Because he's generous. And thirdly tonight, he wants us to be generous. Back in our text in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, remember how he started out talking about these of Macedonia. How that a great trial of affliction and the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. In order for us to be generous, we've got to give ourselves to the Lord. We get to give ourselves to the Lord. In our Sunday school lessons, several months ago, I talked about biblical finances and how we are not the owner, not only of our own bodies, but of the things we possess. God is. He owns all things. We just get to be the managers. We're just the managers. And guess what? A good manager does what the owner wants. Right? A bad manager does what the manager wants, and pretty soon he's not the manager anymore. Because the owner doesn't like that. I mean, if you were the manager of an apartment complex, right? And somebody else was the owner, of course. And you're the manager and you decide that you think it would be a great idea to paint all the buildings red, white, and blue polka dots. Because you think that would be cool. Right? Yeah. Amen. USA. USA. All right. Yeah, I mean, a little patriotic pride there. Red, white, and blue polka dots. That may not be what the owner wants. Well, you think it's a great idea. But you're not the owner. You're the manager. Hey, folks, we've got to learn to be generous because God is generous. He wants us to be generous. He's the owner. We're the managers. Over in Acts chapter 20, the Bible tells us, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch, and remember, that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn every one, night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver, nor gold, or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak. And to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. More blessed to give. It's more blessed to be generous than to be stingy. Yeah, it is. You know what? I've decided that I'm no longer going to give anything away to anybody. You see, Brother Combs, you're talking about being generous, and now you're going to make a statement like that? Yeah, because God has given us so much back, I have too much. And I'm afraid if I keep giving it away, I'm going to get more. Okay, I'm just teasing, by the way, you understand. Isn't that how it's supposed to be? How it's supposed to be. But you know what? Now I can give away more. And I can give away more and more and more and more and more. You know what's fun to do? It's fun to give stuff away. That is. Yeah, it's great. We need to learn to be generous. We should be generous. God wants us to be generous. Romans chapter 12. Look at verse 9. Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Being generous. It's a characteristic of God that we need to emulate. Romans chapter 12, look at verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate.
Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. You know what that is? It's being generous. Being generous. You know, I told you before at the beginning that generosity does not just only extend to finances. It extends to all areas of our life as Christians. We need to be givers. Givers, not takers. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Remember, 1 Timothy 6 says, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, they that do good, they that be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. You know, we understand that we need to be generous. We need to live a life of generosity. And when you plant a seed in the ground, it is one seed. And when that comes up, and let's say it's wheat, as it comes up out of the ground, a stem, and then a head appears, and all the little things, and after it's all finished and full, there's probably about 10, 20, somewhere, seeds inside of that head. One became 20. And when you give, you're going to reap either the benefits or the negative from that reaping. You know, there's a verse in Luke. It talks about give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. You know what? I've heard that verse many, many times. Today I read the entire chapter and was going through that. You know what? I don't think that's talking about money. I don't think it's talking about finances. It's talking about forgiveness. But it's being generous in forgiveness. If you're generous to forgive, then you're going to receive forgiveness. Multiply. But it doesn't matter. I was just dwelling on that today. I'm like, that's amazing. I've always heard that spoken in financial terms. But yet, there's nothing financial mentioned in that whole chapter. It's kind of interesting. It says, give and it shall be given unto you. But it's talking about generosity. Good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. You know what? Bottom line is we need to learn to be generous. If we are generous, we can be more generous. Generosity, it's a characteristic of God, and it ought to be a characteristic of the Christian. Remember the story in 1 Chronicles? It says this is the time when they were preparing for the temple of God. David was preparing for Solomon. And in chapter 29 and verse 9, it says the people rejoiced that they had offered willingly, because with a perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. It's a joyous thing
It's not out of necessity. It's not doing it because we have to. It's doing it because we want to. And we get to. Being generous. You know, I mentioned to do good to all men. You know, sometimes maybe a way we'll be able to get the gospel to someone who's lost is by being generous to them. And they'll see Christ in us. And we'll have an opportunity to see them saved. You know, sometimes I've been to restaurants and things, you know, these waitresses or these waiters, they have a tough time, especially these days. Sometimes being generous to them and giving them a tip, maybe that they didn't deserve, will be an opportunity for that gospel tract you leave to do some good. Let me just say this too. Since these things have my name on them, if you leave a penny, don't leave a gospel tract, okay? Be generous. It might mean the difference. And on some, having compassion, making the difference.